Blog Talk Radio.
This is a Private Officer Beat Radio with Rick McCann at the microphone. Good Monday morning, everyone, and welcome to the Private Officer Beat Radio, a production of Blue Ram Media Group, LLC, and Private Officer International. And we've got a lot to talk about today. We're going to be introducing a new technology that has been used for a number of years by law enforcement, but now it's going to be used for both law enforcement and private entities, private security agencies, private law enforcement. We're talking about the real-time crime center. This may be a new topic to many people, or maybe you have heard about it and not really very familiar with it. I'm finding out as we do more and more research and talk to more and more people about equipment and vendors, I'm finding out that a lot of people still do not know what it's all about. And we're going to talk about exactly how it's going to be used, how it is currently being used by law enforcement to solve crimes instantly, to instantly locate wanted persons, stolen vehicles, missing persons, and how it really is a game changer, and how this is really helping many departments who are understaffed to do more with less people. And it's a wonderful concept. It actually began right after 9/11 with many agencies putting together what was known as fusion centers, which is where many law enforcement from different departments and agencies came together to all work together to stop terrorists, to identify them. Eventually, that spun off into more of a crime analyst situation where many police departments looked at where crime was happening to predict it. They used predictive computer and advanced AI. And so we're going to be talking about this and other technology now being used also on the private sector. And we mentioned a number of months ago on our organized retail crime show that I did how some large retailers also use AI, artificial intelligence, and advanced technology, including facial recognition, to capture those people involved in organized retail crime, those who are running into stores and grabbing armloads of merchandise. Being able to identify them later helps to make the arrest. Maybe store employees and loss prevention aren't allowed to make the stop right then where there's a dangerous situation, but with AI and surveillance technology and facial recognition, they're able to go back and work with law enforcement to make those arrests. So we're going to talk about how the real-time crime center is making things different, making things happen, and helping to initiate that investigation at the time of the crime and not have to go back and look at hours and hours of surveillance footage. You're able to get that investigation started while the crime is happening. So more proactive than reactive. Also, of course, today in the show, we've got plenty of news. We want to talk more about school security. We've covered that for the last 2 weeks on the radio show. And we'll be talking more about that in the upcoming weeks, along with juvenile violence and how it's affecting private security. Remember that if you want to get involved, if you have a topic that you'd like to have us talk about on our radio show on the topic on the bottom of the hour, please send us an email at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Also, remember, you can read our breaking news 24-7 at privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. You can join our conversations every day at facebook.com/privateofficerinternational and 24/7 on twitter.com/privateofficer. I do have a list of injured security officers who were shot just in the last 10 days. We'll be talking more about that. And we'll be announcing the first ever Gulf Coast Conference coming up real soon. We'll be announcing those dates and locations and so much more. You're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector here on Private Officer International, Private Officer B Radio, and we'll be right back.
Life is precious. Ask any of these people. They've been given a second chance at life through organ and tissue donation. But there are more than 84,000 Americans waiting for life-saving transplants. 17 people die every day waiting. I didn't know this until I lost my best friend, Lyric. She gave the gift of life to 5 people. That's why I've become an organ donor, too. One decision saves so many lives. Donate life.
My friends, right now, Armor Tech, a division of Armor College, is looking for people just like you to start your own school right where you're at. It doesn't take a lot of money, but it does take a little experience. You do have to have a few qualifications as an instructor, but we also certify you in many other areas. Currently, we are regulatory trainers for more than a dozen states. And if you're currently an instructor for your state security regulatory agency or the Red Cross or EMA or other types of disciplines, we want to talk with you. Have you ever thought about being in business, starting your own school? Well, now you can with 100% support of Armor College. You can open up your own local school and be part of the Armor College system right now. You could be in business in a matter of weeks. Contact Carrie, C-A-R-R-I-E, at Armor College, A-R-M-O-U-R, college.org for more information. I think once you find out how easy it is to own your own school, to be in business for yourself but not by yourself, you're going to ask, why in the world didn't I do this sooner? Contact Armor College today for more information.
We're back here on the Private Officer Beat Radio on this Monday morning, April 17th, 2023. I want to cover an email that I received this past week from a POI member who's very concerned about something that happened to him. However, as I looked into this, I find that it was actually a criminal offense committed by him and that he was actually at fault. In a number of states, including Florida and California, New York, and other states, when an armed security officer receives their security license or registration, that is for open carry while in uniform, while on duty, while they are actually on the site of the client or going to or from their place of employment, business, assignment. Many security officers through the years that we've had contact with or heard about really misunderstood or intentionally disobeyed the law. So in states that issue armed security licenses for an armed security guard, it does not. There's no provision in that law that says you now have a carry concealed weapons permit. It doesn't say that this license, this permission, is a CCW. It doesn't say you can carry your gun off-duty and out of uniform concealed. And in states that do not have the open carry law, it doesn't say you can carry it in an open carry position either. The law says that you have been certified and now licensed or registered to carry the firearm while on duty and in uniform. It does not give you carte blanche. It does not say that you can take that gun out of state, cross state lines, and go wherever you want as if you have a carry concealed weapons permit. It's something totally different. And I can remember a situation about 5 or 6 years ago where one of our POI members was arrested because they were off duty wearing a t-shirt. The gun was on their person concealed under the t-shirt, but the police officer could see that this person had a firearm and stopped the off-duty security officer to investigate and come to find out that he didn't have a concealed weapons permit. He had no legal right to be carrying that concealed firearm. He tried to say that he was in uniform, that the shirt had the name of their security company. But in all actuality, that wasn't what the law says. That wasn't what was required, and he was arrested. Now, recently, another POI member has also been arrested for carrying a concealed weapon out of uniform, off duty, and without a concealed weapons permit. I myself have addressed this situation at least a half a dozen times over the years, maybe more. Just because you're an armed security officer doesn't mean that when you're off duty and out of uniform, if you don't have a concealed weapons permit, that you pack all your weapons and, you know, conduct business like you're authorized 24/7. In fact, during the COVID situation about 2 years ago, a security officer was arrested for impersonating a police officer for the mere fact that he was in plain clothes, illegally carrying his gun concealed, a pair of handcuffs, and a badge on his belt. Now, the badge on the belt did identify him as a security officer, but he wasn't on duty and he wasn't in uniform and he was carrying that firearm illegally. And after an investigation, Florida police arrested him. This situation happens time and time again. If you live in a state that issues concealed weapons permit, why don't you go get one? If you're an armed security officer and you feel like you need to protect yourself when you're off duty, and I don't blame you, why not go get a concealed weapons permit? You've already been qualified to carry a firearm. You've already been licensed or registered to be an armed security officer. And there might be a time or two that comes up when you have to work in plain clothes for a client and you might carry concealed. You need that weapons permit to do that. I don't understand why people just think that with an armed security class license, they can do whatever they want. That's not the law, and it's a good way to not only get yourself in trouble, but possibly even be shot. Obey the law, people. Obey the law. I'm on your side. I think you should carry concealed all the time. Security officers often are assaulted and even killed off duty because of something that happened while they were on duty. And you have to protect yourself, and you have to protect your family, and you have to protect those that you love and those around you. But you have to do it legally. And if you're not sure as to what your armed security registration or license will allow you to do, then you need to contact that state's regulatory agency. Remember, every state is different. Regulatory law is based on state statute. It's not a federal statute. I've had arguments where security officers say, well, if the police can carry any place and go to any state, and that's a federal law called LEOSA. And even that has been questioned over the last few years, and many police agencies and associations have asked that the Supreme Court chime in, that they look at this situation for LEOSA and make a final decision as to when and where they can legally carry, even if they're retired, because the law allows anyone who has been on the police department for at least 10 years, who left in good standing, the same right as someone who was on for 30 years and retired. We need to understand our gun rights because we're out there protecting and serving. We're out there doing the same job as law enforcement, but we need to obey the law. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be back. We're talking today about real-time crime centers, the technology that helps to solve crimes while they're in progress, and the value of the technology. We want you to understand how that technology works, the benefits, and also if you're a security company owner, how, you know, it's going to benefit you by subscribing to that 24/7 surveillance and real-time crime technology. Listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector on the Private Officer Beat Radio.
Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. Whether you're looking for the top quality protective armor or protective clothing, stab-resistant vests or gloves, contact my friend Ben over at Body Armor USA. Give him a call, 516 area code, 817-1666. Again, that's area code 516-817-1666. Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. No doubt about it.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this state.
Slow down.
Slow down and move over.
And move over. When you see lights,
mess,
I'll be flaggers.
Please, give us some room. Slow down and move over.
When you need us,
we've got your back.
You have ours.
You got our back?
You got ours? You got our back? Please, slow down.
And move over.
In the past week or so, violence has really struck the private security community once again. We've had a number of security officers shot, a number of armored trucks robbed. We've even had a church security officer stabbed. In New York, Queens, New York, a church security officer was notified by staff of a suspicious person out in the parking lot. When he went out to contact that person,
some type of altercation occurred, and that suspect stabbed the security officer a number of times in the chest and stomach. Police arriving quickly on scene engaged that suspect and shot him. The security officer is in critical condition. A security officer in Utah was shot in a similar fashion, checking out a suspicious vehicle in the parking lot when suddenly something went awry and the driver of that vehicle shot the security officer. He's in good and stable condition. Police have not made an arrest in that particular case. In Hawaii, a security officer was injured at a park. Police are still investigating, but the injury has left the security officer in critical and grave condition, according to medical experts at the hospital. We're tracking this particular situation because it involved a state park. Now, we do know that the security officer was working with a contract or for a contract security company and not a employee of the park system. So we're definitely checking and following this story, and we'll give you more details as they become available. Another church security officer in Memphis, Tennessee, was also injured as he set out cones, traffic cones, for the church service. The driver struck him and ran over him. The security officer was injured critically. He is expected to survive, but he is still hospitalized. The driver of that vehicle has not yet been charged, but the case remains under investigation. Three separate nightclub shootings happened in just 72 hours. In one case, a Detroit security officer saw two men shooting toward people and up in the air. That security officer confronted the armed suspects, and a gun battle ensued, and the security officer shot both men. Police believe that this is a good shooting. However, the case has been turned over to the district attorney. Two other security officers were shot at nightclubs as well, and we're seeing this more and more across the country. Nightclubs, a lot of violence occurs. Oftentimes, security are either unarmed or undertrained. In Gary, Indiana, Haley Grist Holden, 28, was convicted of armed bank robbery and murdering of a security officer. Security officer Richard Castellina, who was a retired Cook County deputy sheriff with more than three decades under his belt, was killed during that bank robbery. Now, three suspects are serving more than life in prison. We've also had a number of retail assaults on our loss prevention and mall security, and we are putting together a new division here at Private Officer International that will address some of the violence and some of the organized retail crime across the country, and we'll be really excited here to announce that in the upcoming weeks. I want to give a big shout out today to Aurora, Colorado SRO police officer Eki Najai. I'm not sure if that's the correct pronunciation, but he's an SRO and he is assigned to the Aurora Central High School. He's getting big props from students because of the way that he's able to mentor them and connect with them. And he does that through sports. The police officer graduated and had been in sports, football, wrestling, and track, he said. And it was a natural thing to progress into law enforcement, but even more than that, to progress into the school system where he's able to bring his love of sport to the students. And just recently, he took up a new sport. And I'm told he's killing it, and that's the sport of golf, something I've never been able to master and have a difficult time when I'm on the green. But he began with driving the balls, and that's a good way. If you are new to golf, go out to a driving course and hit some balls. But he's been able to really connect with the students through sports, and so big props to that police officer. In Nashville, Tennessee, police there have arrested four security officers working at 3000 Bar, a nightclub. According to the arrest document, police were notified of a shooting. This occurred back in December, and there's been a number of other incidents there. They began an investigation that identified four persons who were armed working as security officers. After an investigation, the four subjects, Aaron Gilbert, Christoph Carter, Harem Hearn, Christopher McGee, and also Palin Jordan, all charged with operating or being employed as a security officer without the proper license. And those are felony charges. And also two of them were convicted felons in possession of firearms, so they were additionally charged with that as well. This past week, coming out of St. Charles, Missouri, police there say a retirement community resident shot a security officer. Police arrested Constantino Spadafora at his apartment building at the Windsor Estates after he shot the security officer. He was charged with felony assault and armed criminal action. The security officer saw the man sitting and went to question him to see if everything was all right, when suddenly the resident just pulled out a gun and shot the security officer. The 81-year-old man is still incarcerated today. Also, this past week, Maryland voted to increase the requirements for security officers for training and to be licensed. Right now, most of the security officers who are unarmed in Maryland have no license and no training. That's all about to change. Whether you're proprietary or contract security, you will have to go through the same licensing process and the same training requirements according to this new bill. For the second time in 10 days, a man has died during a tussle with security. In one case, the incident happened at a Home Depot where a uniformed security officer tussled with a shoplifter. The man was tased and then became incoherent and lost consciousness. He was transported and later died. Now, coming out of Fort Worth, Texas, a similar situation happened at the La Grande Plaza, where security attempted to detain a person who was acting erratically and trespassing. During that tussle, the man also suddenly became unconscious. An off-duty Fort Worth police officer was involved as well. He helped to get the man handcuffed. The man was taken to a hospital, but later died. Police are investigating that situation as well. We've looked at all the information that was available to us, and right now, both cases look like they were reasonable use of force, and that each one had other medical or narcotic conditions that caused the deaths of these persons. A private investigator in Long Island, New York, has taken on some new clients. It seems that the theft of cooking oil throughout New York and elsewhere has become a big thing. Many people are stealing cooking oil to use as biodiesel for their vehicles. It's a highly valued. One time it was trash. Nobody wanted it. Now you can turn it into biodiesel very quickly and use it in your trucks and diesel vehicles. And so it's a costly commodity. The private investigator has been hired to do surveillance, interrupt the thefts, and even prosecute some of those who are behind the thefts. Portland State University in Oregon in 2020 took away the firearms from their police officers. This after a shooting in the downtown area, which looked to be justified. And now the Portland State University Police Chief, Willie Halliburton, says that he has given them back their firearms due to the increase of violence both against the officers as well as on campus. We're seeing this all over the place. In fact, on the same day as that announcement, in Eureka, Missouri, the Rockwood School District announced hiring armed security officers for the start of the new year. They have not had law enforcement or armed security on campus for a number of years, but all of that will soon change. And like I said, we're seeing that just every place, every place. An Edinburgh, Texas security officer was arrested after shooting at a car. He witnessed a man urinating in the parking lot of a municipal building where he was on duty. He went out to investigate. After a confrontation, he shot at the vehicle. He's been arrested for discharging his firearm at a occupied vehicle. Remember, you can see all of our breaking news 24/7 at privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. Join us in the conversation on social media, facebook.com/privateofficerinternational, twitter.com/privateofficer. More and more casinos along the Las Vegas Strip and elsewhere are deploying K-9 teams. One such deployment happened this past week when they took several new K-9 teams and put them out at the Wynn Las Vegas Casino. Now, they've had a K-9 program for quite some time, but they have recently added several more teams, and they say it's not because of an increase of violence, but it is because of the days and times that we're living in. A Pittsburgh charter school security chief observed a man coming onto campus hiding an AK-47 style rifle under a dumpster. He quickly notified police and was able to detain the suspect, who's been identified as Jaquan Clark, 18, who was arrested for having a firearm on campus. A Fresno private security company has been charged by the state with insurance fraud. Louis Burgos, 50, the owner of B&R Private Security LLC, and his business partner, Sahan Singh, 57, who fled the country and is believed to be in a foreign country, is wanted for felony fraud. They're both accused of defrauding the Central Valley Workers' Compensation by underquoting the amount of their payroll by a substantial amount. According to the state, a forensic audit found that B&R Private Security had over $1.8 million in employee payroll, but it only said they had $128,000. Both are charged with felony fraud. In Central County, PA, another school district, all this past week, have hired armed security and police to patrol the county schools. This after an increase in violence, they said. A small police department in Limestone, Maine is no longer. The residents approved the measure to abolish their police department. They didn't specifically say why they didn't think they needed the police department anymore, but usually it's because of a lack of funding or it's some type of anti-police, or maybe there just wasn't enough work for the police to do. Now, the county sheriff's office and the Maine State Police will provide law enforcement coverage for the town. If you see breaking news in your area, send us a heads up. Helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We're going to take a quick break. When I come back, we're going to be talking about the Uniform Real-Time Crime Sensor and RTCCs in general. You're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector here on the Private Officer Beat Radio. Are you looking for the finest private security officer training in the Charlotte metropolitan area? Do you need PPS qualifications in armed or unarmed training? Or maybe you're over there across the line in South Carolina and you need the SLED training? Well, we've got the right training at the right time for you. Premier Training Academy, located at 5624 Executive Center Drive, Suite 142 in metropolitan Charlotte, North Carolina. Give them a call today, 704-806-4933. They also offer firearms training, personal protection, first aid and CPR, and so much more. Call John at 704-806-4933.
If you're not already receiving breaking news and our bi-weekly newsletter, Officer Don reports, and discount training news in your personal or business email, then go to our website right now at privateofficer.org. privateofficer.org. A Dropbox will come down. Just fill out your info, and you'll be the first, one of the first, for sure, to know about what's happening in the security industry. You'll know when a security officer is killed. You'll also get these great discounts on training and equipment and so much more. privateofficer.org. And
today, I want to introduce you to the Real-Time Crime Center. This is being highlighted, spotlighted, talked about across the country as the latest, greatest new thing in crime fighting. And while the technology certainly is new or newer and being developed every day, the thought of police deploying in areas where crime is spiking, where violence continues to increase, or where there's a lot of property crimes, burglaries, auto thefts, that in itself really is not new. For as long as I can remember, decades and decades, police have deployed in areas where crimes were occurring. They put more boots on the ground, literally, for many, many decades. Police on foot patrolled neighborhoods. Police in patrol cars patrolled the exterior part of the city. Anytime that there was an increase in crime, whether that be a violent assault, a mugging, or burglary, police would just deploy more officers to that area until they were able to make some arrests and decrease the crime. Many, many police departments, hundreds, maybe thousands, across the country for many years have had what's called focused patrols or targeted policing or selective enforcement. I myself can remember being told to write more tickets in this area for stop sign violations or for people going around the school bus when it was picking up students or whatever the safety issue was of that week, that day, that month, as well as policing areas where there was an increase in drug sales or complaints from the residents from our community who wanted more boots on the ground. Focused patrols, targeted policing, selective enforcement got the job done. And then we would move on to another part of town. And I've mentioned this before, and it's a true fact. It's like dealing with cockroaches. As somebody who worked for a very short time as a bug exterminator and went to Bug Exterminator College and got a little certificate, I've learned that is true. You can spray and spray. All you're doing is forcing the cockroaches and the bugs from one part of the house until the next, and they're going to hide over there until the coast is clear and they're going to come out. Same thing with criminals. You can move them along from one side of the town to the next. Gang members, drug dealers, eventually are going to show up elsewhere. Same people, same problem, just a new area of town. Now in 2013, CCTV use by police had really begun becoming a thing. It had really become a very important tool in dispatch centers and many police chiefs wanted to get more cameras throughout town. And that was the year that Ring doorbell came on the scene. And believe it or not, that little contraption went to Shark Tank. I'm sure you all know the TV show. And it was rejected. Nobody wanted it. No one thought it was going to be any big deal. And just a few years later, they sold their business to Amazon for $1 billion. $1 billion. I tell you that because police throughout the United States and elsewhere are using Ring cameras, business CCTV, closed-circuit television cameras, and other private surveillance cameras to help solve crimes these days. And trust me, they do solve crimes. So many police command centers have strung together a bunch of surveillance cameras that they have access to or can use when there's a crime committed in that area. And that's all really, really great stuff. Now, post 9/11, something else came on scene I mentioned a short time ago called fusion centers. And that was just where a representative of DEA, ATF, Homeland Security, the local police department, the state police department, the county sheriff, all put their heads together in one location on how to track terrorists and how to stop bombings and how to beat crime. Short time later, something came on scene called ComStat. And what that was every morning police at that precinct or police at that department would all meet. The commanders, the captains, the sergeants, and they would go over the crime of the previous day. They would look at the crime trend. They would base their information from the previous 24, 48 hours. And they would use it kind of as a predictive assessment of where crime trends were and where they were going and what type of crimes so that they could better deploy their police personnel. Predictive policing has worked because it's based on crime trends. What's happening where and how can we deploy our manpower? How can we deploy our assets? You know, do we need to get undercover officers in there to do a bunch of drug buys? Do we need to flood the area with uniforms and masked police cars? What do we need to do? In recent years, artificial intelligence has been used to help predict crime, more predictive policing, and many times based on the facts, based on the statistics, based on the trends, artificial intelligence, AI, has been pretty accurate in predicting the newest wave of crime and where it will be and what it would be. Now, fast forward a few more years. And in the last couple of years, something new has come on scene. Some departments first began using the word intelligence centers. But now it's the real-time crime center. And when I come back here momentarily, we're going to talk about exactly what is an RTCC, how is it used, who's behind the scenes, and how in the world is private security going to be able to take advantage of all the technology and of this very unique service. We'll be right back here on the Private Officer Beat Radio.
Are you a recently retired or maybe active law enforcement officer looking for a different future, maybe owning your own business, former military, public safety, private security professional, EMS, or the fire service, looking for a new way to make a difference while running and owning your own business? At Public Safety Services, we provide services to those who protect us around the world. I'm talking about the police, the sheriff's department, the military. Our organization provides community service officers, private law enforcement, prisoner transport, traffic investigators, and many other public safety service related services to law enforcement agencies across the nation. You can own your own business, be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. Contact us at publicsafetyservices.org. Let's talk about how you can make a difference today while owning your own business.
Distracted driving is dangerous, but some people just can't seem to help themselves. There's the steering wheel proper, the sneak a peeker, the fast roller, the nightlighter. And it's not long until they become the fender benderer, the got a ticketer, the veering off the road, the driver who kills someone. Enough with the phones already. Just put them down.
If the water is flowing at the low water crossing, turn around, turn around. Don't risk your life, don't do it, you might not make it through it. Turn around, turn around. Might take a little time to heed the warning signs. Turn around, turn around. Turn around, and don't drown.
If you've ever listened to any of my radio shows, and if you haven't, there's about 680 of them in the library that you can stream 24/7 and go back and listen to the very first ones broadcasted live in Atlanta, Georgia, before we transition over to an internet radio program. But nonetheless, I have 5 radio shows. We have the Private Officer Beat. We have the LP Zone, where it's all about loss prevention. We have On the Legal Side, Coastal Alabama Highway 98, and the Frontline Protector. But if you've ever listened to any of my live trainings, my radio shows, then you know that when I start talking loud, when I start getting excited, it's because I really have this subject down pat. I've got it pinpointed. I know exactly what I want to say. I know exactly why I want to say it. I know exactly who I'm trying to reach in the audience. And today happens to be one of those days when I'm really, really excited about my newest venture. And without going into great detail about businesses that I own or don't own or want to own, I will tell you that this is a project unlike any other that I have invested myself, my time, and my money and effort into. For the last few years, many police departments have put together 24-hour surveillance operations. 24 operations centers being monitored by specially trained criminal or crime analyst, people who were trained how to observe, what to look for, how to detect a crime in progress while watching dozens and dozens of live streams coming in to the RTCC. Along with all of those video cameras being streamed in live, where people monitoring, dedicated, can watch in real time a crime before it even occurs and notify local law enforcement to get over there, or to take the video that's live streaming into their real-time crime center and be able to immediately turn that around and stream it on the responding police officer's iPhone or their camera, their computer. That way they can see, the officers can see what's really happening as they are on the way. And this is also being done from schools. Some schools have the same technology where their video feed during any type of situation can feed directly not only into that local police department, but into the police officer's laptop. So the real-time crime center can monitor, detect, and stop, prevent crimes from happening and get that information out to law enforcement responding in real time. And not only do they have all of that, they have some of the most unique technology available to law enforcement today. And that includes facial recognition, what's called APLRs, automated license plate readers, which will scan a license plate and then run it through several databases to see if the vehicle is wanted, stolen, if there's a missing person alert that's associated with the vehicle, if the person who is the registered owner is fleeing or wanted by the police, or, you know, a number of other crimes committed and associated with that vehicle. They also have facial recognition, and they're able to run facial recognition while they are downloading or giving information to responding officers to see if they can find out who is involved there. They also have gunshot detection. And what that is the microphone set up to listen for decibel levels, specifically sounding like gunshot, notify law enforcement, and then they begin to video that area and the vehicles coming in and out to solve any crimes associated with those gunshots. There's a lot of technology that we didn't have just 5 or 6 years ago. And why I'm really excited, not only for the use by law enforcement, but because now I have it. Now I have all of the same technology that any police real-time crime center has. Unified Real-Time Crime Center, a private-public partnership. Now we have something that can is so unique and so specific and really limited to a very small number of companies, but now we can help prevent crimes in progress. Now we can start the investigation as the crime is underway, and now we can quickly send that video or even the license plate reader information. We can find out who's involved and give that to police on the way. First of all, it's going to prevent many crimes, but second of all, it's going to make quick work of apprehension of offenders. I don't know of only two nonprofit companies who have all of this technology together to be used. Unified Real-Time Crime Center will use this technology to help small police departments, campus public safety and police departments, private police agencies, hospital campus public safety, and businesses who really need this technology because they are prime targets of high-dollar crimes and violent crimes. We have studied this. I have studied this for 2 years. Several of my partners have worked with us for vendors, for putting together the specific tools and technology that we need to be successful with this project. And now we're at that point. So a real-time crime center is a 24-hour surveillance center with a lot of high-tech. Facial recognition, license plate readers, AI, real-time monitoring, and so much more. And that's why I'm very, very excited about this. We will make this technology and this service available to alarm companies, to central monitoring stations, to police departments, specifically small police departments, as well as campus, and some security companies, especially those who have patrol divisions who respond to alarms and crimes in person. This is just the beginning, and I wanted to give you a quick preview of what the Unified Real-Time Crime Center is. You can research it online. You can research RTCCs of other police departments. I think that this is going to make all the difference in the world for both police and private security. And we're kicking it off. We'll have two offices, and one will be on the Atlantic coast, and the other one will be a backup office. And we'll be telling you more about that. But if you're interested in finding out anything else, contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com, and they will reach out to the manager at the Unified Real-Time Crime Center and connect you. That's going to do it for this week's Private Officer Beat Radio. Until the next time, y'all be safe, be blessed, and we'll see you back here on the radio.